Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
And welcome, you're tuning and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. That track was Beauty by James Lavelle off his Global Underground CD. That was the first intro track. So what's up, Star fam? Thanks for tuning in to Starseed Energy Radio. You can always tune in on Friday nights to hear the colors and see the music. It is Friday, May 6, 2011. A lot of things have been happening since last week, since the last show we had with Brian DeFlores. Joining us tonight on the show, a little later in the show, is Michael Quincy, also known as Salusa. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome interview. So if you have any questions, go on to the website to get the toll-free number, call in. We'll hopefully take some questions at the end if we have time. And jumping right into the events and what's going on in the world. One of the, I guess, most shocking articles that I've seen, and I say shocking only because there's nothing talked about it in our media, was last week, over a period of a couple of days in the southeast, we had a barrage of storms and tornadoes that swept through the southeast, killing almost 400 people, wounding a lot of others, others still missing. And in doing so, it knocked at the power, nuclear power in Ohio, in Perry Nuclear Power Plant in Ohio. Now, the plant was actually had a spike in radiation. Radiation was... There was an evacuation at the plant. Three nuclear reactors in the area were knocked off. There was an evacuation. They picked up nuclear radiation on the news. They also knocked out a number of other power grids and stuff like that. But these are things that are going on that you really don't hear about, that you should hear about. You would think that, you know, the powers that be would want to inform the people of what's going on. But no, no mention of that. Interesting. So, you know, going back to the Fukushima reactors, that's something else we've been talking about for a while. It's something to be aware of. It's something to be aware of because it's affecting the planet. It's affecting everything. Japan, U.S., and EU, basically they've all made public statements that everything is fine, everyone's protected, there's nothing So that's basically how the governments that be are playing it off. You know, they're not talking about the radiation levels, the plutonium, the cesium, all the stuff that's in our atmosphere now. So they just pretty much turned a blind eye. It's out of the media, and that's pretty much it. But we're going to continue to talk about it because it's still affecting everybody. Also happening here in the States, in the U.S., more changes, shift changes. The Mississippi River right now is going through an epic flood. They're looking at basically nothing like this in 500 years. It's flooding all the way down in the Gulf. And, more of these changes happening. Also part of the storms that came through last week was a mile-wide tornado. Part of the storms, a mile-wide tornado in Tuscaloosa County. Now, the only thing I've ever heard about that big was from that movie Twister, which was years ago, which had that mile-wide, tornado. But here we are again, living through these realities of, the shift and the change, and I believe this is truly part of it, as well as weather manipulation and harp manipulation, because a lot of these storms seem to have just popped out of nowhere. Who knows? There's a lot of weaponry going on, weather weaponry between different countries and scale out of weaponry and things like that. So who really knows what's going on? But things are definitely happening. This mile-wide tornado is just, unbelievable. And there's actually videos of it. You can Google it or YouTube it and check out some videos of that. Speaking of earthquakes, there's been earthquakes all over the place, all over the world the last week. There's been moderate earthquakes struck in Mexico, Alaska, Japan, all 6.0 plus. These things are happening on a much speeding up level. They're happening, increasing more and more. The Madrid fault line is actually fracturing. There has been ruptures and little small seismic earthquakes all over that. And that is signs of something moving and shifting bigger underneath. At least that's how I look at it. And, something's up. Something's going on, because not only has there been all this seismic activity, but there just so happens to be the largest earthquake drill in American history in the central U.S. right now. And that began last week across 11 states with 3 million people participating in it in a series of earthquake drills aimed at preparing, people for a large-scale earthquake. So it just happens to be there's all these earthquakes. There's actually people already doing, things to prepare for it, different activities and stuff. So something's going on, because all these strings aren't being pulled for nothing. So things to be aware of. Also really cool I saw in the news is the six planets are now aligned. Six of our planets in our system are now aligned, and you could see them in the dawn sky. Very cool. I didn't know about this. I didn't see too much talked about it, but if you look at the early morning hours, six of the planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, you can see them all, Uranus and Neptune, six of them are aligned in the dawn hours in the line of the sun. So I guess it'd be kind of hard to see, but if you look at a sky map of the six planets, you'll see that they should appear right before dawn to observers with the clear weather and an obstructed view. So you'll be able to see that. Really cool. It should be like that for the next, I think I said 2 months or something like that. So you can only catch it early in the morning, but a cool view to see. Bad news from NASA coming out this week. And we've been hearing a lot of bad news from NASA, or I guess I would consider it warnings from NASA. Not really bad news, just confirmations of the changes happening. But some news out of NASA of this comet, Elenin, that they're calling it a comet, is affecting the Earth. Now, we spoke about this. I've talked about this a few times. There's been a new planet discovered. There's this huge comet, coming towards the Earth that they just discovered. And this new comet is also known as Nibiru, or Planet X, or whatever you want to call it. But it's just more confirmation in the media news that there is something else coming headed this way. Now, what NASA said that it is affecting the Earth. Previously, they totally denied that this comet would not affect the Earth. There's nothing happening. Now they're admitting that the information was wrong and it is affecting the Earth. Looking at NASA's mathematical model of the comet, if you look at it online or Google it, you will see that it basically loops back around the sun and sort of comes right back in front of the Earth. So what they're saying is there's a possibility that we could run into it, or it's definitely going to get close enough where it's going to affect gravitational pulls and those type of things, which if you know about electromagnetic fields and things like that, affect the planet. These large earthquakes that happen and things like that are a lot of times in alignments with planet, because it messes the gravitational pull and certain things up, just like the moon affects the ocean tide. So Nibiru is coming back around. Call it what you want. Call it a comet, whatever the ancients called it. Planet of the Gods. There's a lot of different names for it, but now NASA as well as other media outlets are finally agreeing on it. China itself made a statement. Chinese scientists made a statement that behind the comet is a UFO. So at least they're somewhat putting out the UFO theory on it. And this comes out of a Chinese space agency reporting it. The director of the astronomical research and missions in China basically commented and said that, according to the report, the space body would be found in the comet's tail and was analyzed after the mysterious signals that came off the unknown formation, strange and obscure. So they're saying that they're picking up this weird, I guess, craft or something behind it. It goes on to say, the Chinese have said that the spacecraft is stationed in the same place for 90 days. Before that, it looks like it was coming from an extraterrestrial civilization. So I guess it's large enough to be an extraterrestrial civilization. I don't know. Fact being, what to look out for is NASA is saying that there's something coming this way. They're calling it a comet. I mean, to me, I always use common sense. Figure it out. It's been all over the news the last 6 months that there's something headed this way, not of this world. They're picking up signals from it. It's not a rock. And now China's saying it's extraterrestrial. So things to be aware of. Exciting times coming ahead. Moving on to the Middle East, there's still unrest and stuff going on over there. Also in this past week, U.S. and Romania have just set up new targeting systems against Russia. Now, this is something that I talked about with Russia and China protecting a lot of the countries in the Middle East because they want the oil as well, and now we're over there and doing what we do. So this is a pretty heavy development, if you ask me, because you know, pointing targeting systems at Russia is not good. Things to be aware of. And talking about the Middle East and over there, a big story this week is Osama bin Laden. They killed Osama bin Laden. Well, Americans have believed that, but if you actually look in other media outlets and around the world, we're like the laughing stock. Osama bin Laden died years ago. In fact, he was on a dialysis. You know, when you're on dialysis, an actual monitor and all that stuff, in 2001, where he was dead, there's people who attended his funeral. I mean, even BBC in the UK had done a special recently about the CIA was it is Al-Qaeda. I mean, we were funding Al-Qaeda and those militants out there in that whole CIA Al-Qaeda program. So, you know, the whole 9/11 job, New York and 9/11, it's clear to me, because I use common sense. You know, I was there in the city in 9/11. I saw the explosion on top of the Brooklyn Bridge. I was there, you know, and I didn't see a plane at the tower. I saw the explosion. Why did Building 7 fall down? Nothing hit Building 7. You know, a fire in Building 7 didn't implode. It's a 57-story building, and a demolition style collapsed all of a sudden. It's impossible. It didn't happen. So it's common sense, people, you know, and that's the problem is Americans, especially Americans, are so, you know, sheeped and blind to the reality. Every facet of our system that we live in, educational, government, banks, political, everything is corrupted. Everything is meant to stretch us out, to thin us out, to keep us down, to keep us in debt, to keep us living paycheck to paycheck. That's the goal. The entire system is designed to keep us like that, to keep us stretched, living paycheck to paycheck, just emotionally drained, physically. That's the unfortunate system that we have created, and that's the system that fortunately is going to be done with very soon, because that is why we are here, the light beings, the star seeds, and that's why we came here for this time. So, you know, things like this, things like 9/11, to me, you know, once I was opened up to the idea that it could have even been our own government and I had researched it, it just made sense. It makes sense, you know. On top of the bin Laden thing, you know, Obama announces that the photos of Osama bin Laden cannot be released, and the White House had a 24-minute blackout of the raid, and it's just obvious. Come on. They're not going to release the photos. They release photos of everything else in the world of, you know, people getting abused and torture. You know, it's just the White House declining that, you know, they're not releasing any more information. They want to protect. It's just, it's BS, people. I mean, they even said that they got DNA sequencing within 24 hours. There is not a machine in the world or in our 3D human world, I should say. I'm sure our star family has them. But in our 3D world that I'm aware of, that can do DNA sequencing within 24 hours. So they go and they kill them and they say, we did DNA sequencing, it's Osama, we dump the body in the water, and the American public buys it. Well, for one, where's the machine that does DNA sequencing within 24 hours? There is none. So common sense, people. You know, common sense. And that's all the news I'm going to go into now, because we're going to get to Mike Quincy after this next track when we come back. But again, these are things to be aware of. These are not frightening times or fear times. These are times to be in love and light and stay in bliss. But you have to be aware of what's happening in the world. You cannot live in this enlightened bubble, if you will, that I've seen with a lot of the spiritual community. And unfortunately, those bubbles are being popped all around, and if you don't have the awareness and the seed dropped in your head of how to react when these certain situations derive in your life, well then, you know, what's the point of being so enlightened and spiritually connected if you're not spreading that light and love to other people right now, helping them deal with their fears? You know, I'm not in fear, but there's a lot of other people that are. You know, and that's the people we need to be talking to, you know. So things to be aware of, things to look out for, you know, tell people about these things. They're real. They're in Yahoo News, CNN, Google it, YouTube, everything we talk about on the show, because it's real, it's out there. So with that being said, I'm going to play another track, and when we come back, we'll be joining us is Mike Quincy Salusa. We'll do a nice interview with him, and we'll speak to hopefully some callers if we have some time after the interview. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this next music track. Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and joining us back on the show is Mike, Michael Quincy Salusa. And Mike, are you on the line?
Indeed I am, yes, Jonah. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and you're joining us from the UK, so I appreciate the working with us in the time zone situation. And want to start off, I guess, a little bit, Mike, with like where originally were you born, where'd you grow up, where'd you spend most of, like, say, your childhood, your teenage years?
Well, funnily enough, I've spent all my life either in South London or in what they call Outer London, which is the county of Surrey. My only deviation from there was shortly before I retired when I moved into the county of Kent. So as far as my childhood or my teens are concerned, or even my marriage, yes, all within the London area.
Gotcha. Now, talking about earlier in your path when you first started going to or getting into, say, spirituality, you talk about how you found your spiritual path in like the late 70s through the Antlinean Society. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you got involved with that?
Yes, certainly. For a long, long time, I was always interested in UFOs, having had my first sighting in 1947. And you'll probably be aware that in those following years, there was a terrific lot of UFO activity, and of course it figured very highly in the press. So that sort of sparked my interest in UFOs and, of course, ETs in that case. And I was also interested in what people call the mysteries, except I always wanted to know what caused the mysteries. So that probably led me to the Atlantean Society, because at one stage I thought religion doesn't really offer me what I'm seeking. And I thought, how can you find out about the real truth? And my idea was to look back through ancient civilizations and see what they thought, to see if that appealed to me. So in the course of reading and looking around for information, I came across work by Edgar Cayce, his readings, and there were quite a few that referred to the old civilizations of Atlantis and Lemuria, and that really grabbed my attention. And I started to search specifically for information from those two. When I was doing that, I came across the Atlantean Society, and naturally I was curious to know whether that meant that they followed the history of the old Atlanteans. Sure. And in to a certain extent it did, because their channel, all their information came through a channel who was Tony Neat, was contacting someone who was called Helio Arcanophus, which meant High Priest of the Sun. And he was the High Priest of the Sun during the time of Atlantis. So a lot of the information that came through and the spiritual teachings were really from that era. So I found that I took to it like a duck to water. And it seemed that I was just having my memory jogged a bit. When I heard it, I thought, oh, that's it. I know this, but it's just been brought back to me. And everything else developed from there. I was with them for quite some years, opened up my own branch, and then sort of moved on a bit when the society felt it had done its work. And then this current period really only started a couple of years after I retired. I was twiddling my thumbs a bit, thinking, what on earth can I do? I've got a lot of experience which I wanted to use and offer people. And it took off from there.
And then you also got into or started the Galacticom Europa?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Now, what exactly was that? You cover the messages from Ashtar through Carol Hall. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, indeed. Well, in about 30-odd years ago, I would guess that Lord Ashtar was probably one of the main channelers of information about ET activities, about what was happening on the Earth, and giving us dire warnings, because prior to the early 80s, apparently there was every chance that we would do something silly and we could destroy the Earth. So his messages were very much on the ball there, warning us of what would happen if we didn't take any notice. Now, his messages were strongly coming through Carol Hall, and I set up sort of the British side, if you like, to distribute her books and articles and tapes. And then at that time I was running my branch of the Atlantean Society. So what I did, I set 1 week a month when we met purely to discuss and talk about these messages that came from Lord Ashtar. I should add that there was also another lady at that time that was doing a lot of work in that connection. And she wrote 2 books about Ashtar's messages, and that was Chirella. So there were 2 very good sources at that time.
So you sort of gravitated towards them to learn more about, or more on your path, really, to learn more of information. And then with that, then you got into readings of Edgar Cayce, which, if anyone doesn't know who he is, they should definitely research it. And in reading his work, you started making a lot of the connections, and I'm sure, like others, you started probably living out some of these prophecies or things that he talked about over the years. And then in doing so, you came to the realization at some point that we're going through this ascension process. And ascension is very hard topic to explain to people. At least I find it hard to explain to people because I'm fairly awakened newly myself. And what I try to explain to people, or one of the things is going through ascension, and what you talk about as sufferers, we're not really going through a physical death here on the planet. We're not going to experience a physical death here on the planet. It's going to be a physical ascension. Can you tell us a little bit more in detail of what that is and what that will be like?
Yes, well, I can only tell you how it appears to me with my own understandings, and I do appreciate that not everybody has the same idea about the end time, but of course the end time isn't the end as such, except is the end of the cycle of duality. Now, my understanding is that the whole thing, the ascension, is a process. It's been going on for quite some years already. And after the 21st of December 2012, it will continue to go on as we make our way further through the higher dimensions. But at that time, I believe the trigger for everything that's going to happen is an alignment of our sun with the great central sun. And through that great trigger of energy, the people that are ready to ascend will ascend with Mother Earth. That's it, quite frankly. So the people that are not ready presumably are going to sort of disappear from the Earth because they can't ascend with it. And we will obviously notice, we who ascend, and I believe I'm going to, will probably notice that people have suddenly disappeared. That sort of fulfills a biblical prophecy, not that I'm into biblical things really, you know, about two people working in the field and one shall remain and one disappear. Mm. So that's it in a very brief way, but it is a lifting up of the vibrations. Already we're working towards a higher level of consciousness within our physical bodies, and they're slowly, that is the carbon-based cells, are slowly changing to crystalline. The crystalline cells have a potential to hold higher levels of consciousness. So we are changing as a being ready for this ascension.
And that goes into our actual changing all the way down to our DNA structure, which is crystallizing for this shift of consciousness. And it also, from what I understand, depends a lot on what you're also manifesting as your quote-unquote end of times, meaning that if you're in the Middle East and you're involved in the violence and that's what you're manifesting because you think it's that this is the end of times and that's what you're going to manifest, someone like myself, where I look at the chaos going on as part of the good shift that needs to happen to save the planet, that's how I look at it. I don't look at it as fear and chaos. I look at this as, thank God these things are happening because we need these things to happen in order to sustain ourselves as a race, period. That's how I look at it. So I guess once you have that duality and you look at it from how we look at it, and from it's a stretch and it gets people confused because, you know, all the chaos puts people in a sheep-like mentality and they look focused straight ahead. But to me, I look at all the chaos as these are the changing times, and it's more of an exciting time to be aware of and to help guide more people to the path of enlightenment and love and light, because it's very important that that's the path you choose right now. And going into that with the messages that you channel from Soluso, who is Soluso? Tell us exactly when Soluso started coming through and exactly like who Soluso is.
Yeah, well, Soluso is Assyrian, and he was one of a group of terrestrials that came through to me originally. When I started channeling by request, initially I channeled Saint Germain, and he told me that I would be channeling extraterrestrials as well. Well, that developed in time, and I had representatives from the Galactic Federation from different civilizations. Just speaking from memory now, I think there was three from Sirius. There was one from Arcturus and one from Venus. Now, at a point not too long ago, Salusar said to me that in future he would speak for the energy for that group. So from that time on, he's been the sole contact that I have. So that's it very briefly. I don't know a lot more about Salusar, I mean, beyond the fact that he's part of these fleets that are around the Earth at the moment, waiting, of course, for open contact to start.
And that's what I've noticed, and I guess what most of these channelings are enlightened beings from different councils of light that are choosing different individuals to transmute these messages to, so they can, I guess, you know, represent it or bring it out to us, to the world. So I guess they're mostly enlightened beings that are just playing their part in helping us with messages and different information at this time. And how often do you receive these channelings? Do you do a message every day? How often do they come into you?
Well, initially, I was doing one each day, and then it reached a point where I understood that three times a week would be sufficient. So I give out a message on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Gotcha. And who do you think the messages are really meant for? Like, who are the messages important to? Like, and why are they important now for people?
Well, they're really there for anybody who has discovered the light, is seeking the truth, and perhaps has an inner feeling, which a lot of people have, that the changes are taking place, whether or not they knew the outcome. And they're trying to find the links to what is taking place. Clearly, there is, as you announced a little earlier in your program, there's so much going on now by the way of changes, the cleansing, etc. There can't be many people that aren't aware that something odd is happening. And, of course, with that, people that are following the light and intent upon raising their vibrations are also finding that they have greater levels of consciousness and their awareness is growing. So that is what I think people are ultimately seeking, whether they know it or not.
Sure, and a lot of those messages have a lot of, I mean, I've been reading the, even before I started the radio show, I've been reading your channelings of Salusa for right. a while now, and there's always important messages, and I've always found a lot of good explanations of exactly what you said, of why I'm feeling this way, why I'm waking up every night, certain things like that, and it always seems that on the days I read it, it always seems to be catered to exactly how I'm feeling. It's weird how that happens a lot. It seems it happens all the time, more than none, and that seems to be with everyone. It's a collective frequency, it seems, sometimes that is picked up on these messages, and it's so it's very important things to read. I forward them and always encourage people to read it. And going into that, you have a lot of these messages on Galactic Friends. What exactly is that website that you're involved in? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, my own website, and I call it mine, it's not actually, I have a number of pages on a website called the Tree of the Golden Light. And that started when, a year or two after I retired, and I was sort of trying to find some outlet for my knowledge to share it with people, and they were inviting people to send articles in to be put on their website. Well, I wrote a few articles and sent them in, which they accepted. And then as a result, they gave me my own webpage. So for a period of time, I was simply on the site putting on mainly my own articles, although I did pick up some channeling from other people that I thought was very good and added it. And then the channeler on that website, Nancy Tate, said to me one day that Saint Germain wanted to speak with me, and it was then he told me that he wanted me to sit by the computer each morning and prepare myself to take messages, which I'd never really done before, although I did have one occasion many, many years before. But so I thought, well, if they're asking me to do it, they must know I can. So I went ahead, but it was a funny little period getting into it and getting used to it. Because as you might imagine, you can write something and think, well, was that really me? Was it somebody else? And it's a funny thing to get used to, I believe, but there you are. So that's how that kicked off, and I've been on Tree of the Golden Light ever since.
Gotcha. And it seems I've heard that actually from a lot of people, including Brian DeFlores last week. When he got his first message that it was time for him to activate, and I said, well, when did the activators posters start coming through? And he said, the next day. So when it seems that when people get that message or whatever, that you get right into action. And
yes.
You've definitely created a global following. I've seen your name and messages all over, and I have you on my website as someone to definitely get to know. And you are a serious Star Nation representative, and your work is greatly followed and respected all over. So appreciate for always doing that. And also want to touch a little bit into, because I saw on your website as well, you talk about crop circles and the ETs. Tell us a little about the crop circles and the extraterrestrials that are what you know of that are behind them.
I suspect there are various civilizations doing that, although I tend to believe from what I've read that it's perhaps mainly the Pleiadians that are involved in setting out the crop circles. I certainly think they put them in place by using something possibly like microwaves or something of that nature. And by and large, I think most of the crop circles, certainly these days, are put in place by extraterrestrials. I think in the beginning it was all a bit flimsy and the circles were simply circles. It had a very sort of slow start until the circles became more sophisticated. And then people found that the circles actually had a very deliberate and often high meaning. And there have been, obviously, people on the Earth have had the ability to interpret the message that comes with the circle. So, and apparently, the energy that it carries, if you walk into the circle or you even look at the symbol, sort of transfers to you. It has an effect. So they're not simply pretty sort of diagrams or drawings in the wheat fields or whatever.
Yeah, and that's what I understand is that some of these energy fields, when you walk into it on meters and things like that, they spike up, and there's also been reports of beeping sounds and stuff like that. So it just seems that it's another ET civilization, star family, that's playing another role and part of this conscious shift that's happening. That's how I guess would be it. And you also have a radio show that you also do on BBS Radio. Can you tell us a little bit about the radio show and what you do on your own radio show?
Yes, well, I'm very fortunate, again, that BBS sponsored me. They asked me to do a radio show, and again, that was something I hadn't really planned. So I've been extremely lucky in that respect. The things have just come along very conveniently for me, not necessarily because I was seeking them. Anyway, they gave me a slot, and I really didn't know initially what to do with it, and I did something very similar to what you're doing on your programs. I tried to make it a newsy program, and then after a while I was getting guest inquiries sent to me, and I was a bit reluctant to do interviews because I'd never done them before, and maybe you sensed it the same. You think, gosh, you know, how am I going to do it? Can I do it?
Yeah, you're right.
Am I capable of sort of chatting to people who probably know more about it than I do? Anyway, there came a point where I thought, I'm going to give this a try, and that's come on very nicely because I can invite the people I want on the programs talking about the subjects that I want to talk about. So it goes very well, and I get over inundated with people wanting to get on the program. So I get an absolute choice.
Yeah, that's one good freedom, of course, about doing your own show. You get to pick and choose what you want to talk about, and yes. Especially now with what's going on with the shift, there's so much information being relayed that any source right now is highly needed because there's still a very big gap and lack of information to the masses of from what I see anyways. How I look at it, there's way too many of us still asleep, and that's part of my mission is waking up my generation. And a lot of us 30-year-olds are still fast asleep, and the time is now, so it's definitely time to get things moving. And that's pretty much wraps it up. Do you have anything else, Mike, you want to say? Or what's your website one more time? Is it .com or .net? It's the Tree of...
Tree, all one word, treeofthegoldenlight.com.
.com, okay, treeofthegoldenlight.com. And you could also check out your radio show on BBS Radio as well. It's actually an hour from now as well, a little after this. And
yes, indeed, yes. Yeah. Well, it's 2 p.m. PST.
That's right, so it's another hour or so. Yes, and that's it. Mike, thank you so much for joining us, and check out your website, galacticfriends.com, and Seleucid messages are always awesome and enlightening as always. So, again, I thank you for that service, for bringing that enlightenment to us. So, thank you.
I must thank you, Jonathan. It's been very nice to talk with you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mike. Have a good night. And for everyone else, we're going to play one more track. We'll come back. We'll do a little wrap-up. And that's it. So sit back, relax, get up, dance, do something, and enjoy this music track. And welcome back. You're listening to Starseed Energy Radio. That was Colors and Waves, the James Lavelle album from Global Underground. And joining us on the show tonight was Michael Quincy, Mike Seleucid. He goes by for his channeling messages, Seleucid. And it was awesome interview, so thank Mike again for joining us. And I just want to go over a couple things before we go. Joining me next week on the show is Dr. Richard Allen Miller, and this is going to be an awesome show. So check out RichardAllenMiller.com. Another website of his is nwbotanicals.org, northwestbotanicals.org. You could also check herbfarminfo.com, dogcancer.ca, and alohamedical.ca. Those are his 5 different websites. So he's a physicist, a biophysicist, an herbalist. He also has a new book titled ESP Induction Through Forms of Self Hypnosis. So we're going to be talking about his new book and when he comes on. And he also, this is very interesting about him, was worked for the government as a physicist and developer for the Navy SEALs. He was one of the original people who worked on some of the original X-Files and the World of Navy Intel Group. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that. And in the late 60s, he was part of the special black ops team in the Navy and worked with them directly. So he has a lot of cool stories. He's also a Swiss Mason. He belongs to the OTO group in AA, several other German Blue Lodges as well. If you check out his bio on his website, he has a wealth of information stuff out there. He's also initiated into a number of different pagan cults, including the Church of All World from 1974 till on, the Coven Camelot, the Star of the North. Miller is also listed in Who's Who in the World, America and the West, and now writes for Nexus Magazine. So Nexus Magazine is an awesome magazine, been around for a long time. So if you're writing for them, you must have a lot of good stuff behind you, and he does. So we're going to get into all that next week, including his original black op stuff with the government, because I definitely want to know about that. He was a physicist with them for more than 10 years with Navy intelligence, so that's going to be really cool as well. So put that in the calendar, Dr. Richard Allen Miller, next Friday the 13th. It's a good day. Also coming up is I talk about Simeon and his webinars a lot. Simeon is also a friend of mine, but he has a Crystal Moon of Compassion with Kuan Yin webinar coming up. And this is a Wesak full moon webinar facilitated by Simeon Chiron. It is May 17th, 2011. It's on 11 a.m. Mountain Time, 5 p.m. GMT time. And his webinars are about an hour and a half. Sometimes they go over 2 hours. But it is awesome, awesome information. It is truth, and it is straight transmissions. Basically, just to give you a quick overview of what this is, it's said that within this next week for this crystal moon of compassion that this is the time when Shambhala is the closest to Earth. Shambhala is commonly known as the etheric center from which the will to good emanates into our collective consciousness. So it's a very good time to take some time out and put out to the universe what you want, that love vibration, because Shambhala energy is very close to us and it amplifies that. So awesome, awesome webinar by Simeon coming up. He also does Cosmic Consciousness Online. .com and CosmicNexus.org, Cosmic Blueprints, and also Zeta Body Activation. So check out Simeon's webinars to push people to that because it's straight transmissions from source, and I know what I feel when I'm on them, so check those out. I always mention some good websites to check out. You can always follow us at Starseed Energy Radio. There's links to my Twitter account. You can follow us for the latest updates, or check out Starseeds.net or Ashtar Command Crew. Those are some really cool sites with other profiles from other star seeds, other light beings like ourselves. So it's always good to intermingle with other people and start connecting with our star fam. So check those sites out. Zen 1111, just to drop that in, as always, is a festival that's continuing to grow. We'll talk about it more in the coming months. It's happening in Asheville, City of Light, North Carolina, on November 11th, 2011, for 3 days, three-day festival. We're having some of the greatest minds in the spiritual community at this festival, and we'll be releasing the names, you know, soon. So stay tuned for that. And that's pretty much it, Star Fam. I'm going to wrap it up with that. Stay aware, stay alive, spread truth, spread awareness. Always check our website for latest updates, and you could always follow me again on Twitter. And that's pretty much it. So stay focused, spread the love vibration, and tune in next week. We'll be joining us will be Richard Allen Miller. And into that, our last track is Run Into Flowers off the James Lavelle album from Global Underground. Sit back, relax, and we'll see you next week.
There is no faith but what we make for ourselves.